He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Well, good morning to this week's audience for Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jada Markin. This week's show will detail some things about the recent New York Auto Show that both of us got to this year in different days and different things were going on. But Jay is going to start us out because he and I agree with a lot of what he has said in the foreground before we got on the air, that the show was sort of a disappointment from many aspects of what we used to see or would think we would like to have seen, and maybe the public too. So Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, Robin, I just want to ask you about your experience. You got the royal treatment. We both had press passes to attend the show this year. Unfortunately, I was not able to go on one of the two press days, but you did. So tell us a little bit about how was that experience different, and did you learn anything that we're still waiting to learn from the press corps?
I got to the first day of the 2-day press days before, which occurred before the show opened to the public. And so I got the full Monty of things, starting from a very nicely laid out breakfast for everybody who showed up. And then I got to go to a couple of opening seminars, but speakers who wanted to tell us about the best world cars, the best, the most sporting world cars that were chosen by press, excluding you and I, Jay, which would probably have changed some of the outcomes, maybe, but maybe not. And I don't have a list of them, so I'm not going to relay them to our listeners. But I was absolutely amazed. I loved going to the press days, first of all.
How many people?
It
How
was
many?
Devoid. It was very busy. Yeah. I was surprised at the number of alleged press people that were there. I certainly don't think that everybody that gained access through the press pass acquisition was really doing anything much about being very press interested about the vehicles and why they were there. But it was a way to get around the public days, which are fine, but you have a different kind of person looking at the cars, I think, during press days than you do during the public days. All in all, it was much nicer on the floor, moving around, getting to see the displays, that some of which were probably incompletely set up. But you watched some of the events unfold at the various displays like Subaru, Hyundai, Kia, Ford, and the like, all of which were timed on a schedule that we had. So we can move around in time to get the various display presentations that the public was going to see when they were there. The best part for me was that it was sort of much easier to move around. There were a lot of people there, but it wasn't clogged at different displays, except when the presentations were going on. They had seats set up for many, and many had to stand because there were more people there than the seats there to hold them in some of the displays. Other than that, it was just another event that I have been going to for many years with some of you, Jay, and you and some others. And but it was done in a different venue set out, and more pleasant as a result.
So let me ask you, these presentations, we'll get to talk about cars in the cars themselves in a few minutes, but the presentations were made by manufacturer executives. Were there any CEOs, big top guns there?
But I don't recognize them, so I can't, I didn't engage with any of them. I had no interest in talking to the bosses of the displays or the people who'd set them up. Because there was clearly a very much knowledgeable part of our group who knew all the important people. But when they had the the beginning presentations about the world cars, and they had video displays, and executives came up to do presentations or to receive their trophies, so to speak, I can't say that I knew who they were or did I want to talk to them aside after they came up to the podium and then left the podium with their trophy, if they were the winning trophy holder for the, let's say, the fastest car of the world or whatever. And so enough on that.
So the group moved from one display, from one show, from one area.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a printed schedule. It started out for me with Kia, I believe. And then there was a Hyundai one an hour, 45 minutes later. And then there was a Ford one later on and a Toyota one, and so on down the line of some of the major displayers.
So, I was anticipating a lot before going to the show. And I think the press did a great job in promoting the show beforehand, during the show, and after the show. So we see the big features of the show are, I think you'll agree with me, is the Hyundai Boulder concept, which is a body on frame SUV.
Move on.
There was the Genesis G90 shooting brake. So there are a few vehicles that were interesting, but there was a lot of hype built around these vehicles. And to be honest, when as a general public we got to the show, some of these were pretty underwhelming. I do think I've come to realize, and I'm just realizing this right now, that it seems like the show and the manufacturers put on this display primarily for the press, and then they the press goes out and talks
promotes them. Yeah.
But really, it's like they don't really care who comes and sees the vehicles at the show. And to be quite frank, I don't get it. After all these years, I'm more and more convinced that this New York Auto Show is, it should be targeted at the New York City market, one of the richest markets in the world, if not the concentration of the most disposable income to buy vehicles. And yet there was not a single luxury car manufacturer represented officially.
Not officially. That was the disappointing part to me. And we get to the major ones like Jaguar.
Jaguar doesn't make any cars anymore, so that's
Do. They do sell cars. They've got a few cars. I do agree with you. Jaguar's
name two.
The two-door convertible, and
they don't make it anymore.
Well, I didn't know they didn't make it anymore, but they've got inventory around to sell because their sales are so slow. But
it's a car show. It's not a used car lot.
Right. But they don't.
But I think we agree. I mean, there was no Cadillacs. BMW, Mercedes, and Audi were all represented by
three or four cars each, somewhere in a corner.
By groups of dealers, regional dealers. The displays were pretty lame. There was no lighting on the cars. There was no background.
Yes,
it was,
you're right. You're
it
right,
was pretty
right.
sad
okay.
looking.
You're right. The dealers provided the cars for pretty much all the displays. The manufacturers, I think, as you said, started out, provided the setups for the displayers. Kia and Hyundai were the two major ones, and Subaru as well, that I noted. And they were significant in what, how they had their presentations. And they were more impressive, I must say, I'm afraid, than I felt that the American manufacturers' displays were. In terms of the visuals that they had along with the cars. They certainly had more cars in their lines than anybody else that I could decide had their cars presented.
Well,
although Ford had a fairly large display.
But no cars. I mean, this is where it you come to the realization that none of these American manufacturers are producing any cars anymore. Ford, take the case of Ford.
Well, pickup trucks and all that, yeah.
You had pickup trucks.
The Mustang Dark Horse.
Okay, you had Mustangs, like you had five or six variations of the Mustang, and that's great. The Mustang is a great car.
Right.
The Dark Horse Edition, all these GTs, they're great vehicles, but they sell in very, very small numbers.
Well, yeah, of course.
And the only and that's it. That's the only car. And you know, the Mustang EV, which is another pretty
Well,
dumb
let's
marketing
look about
stint.
your let's talk about let me interrupt you and say let's talk about the word car versus the vehicles that were there. You're right. If you're talking about cars, meaning mostly sedans and non-SUVs or crossovers or that kind of thing, you are correct. But Kia had all their vehicles. Hyundai had all their vehicles. Toyota had, I think, many, if not all, their vehicles. But Ford and GM were limited to crossovers and SUVs and a few electric options still there. And
Yeah,
VW was very disappointing to me. They don't have anything to really offer that's new and exciting. And as you said earlier, Audi as well. And there were no executives there that I could see from those particular manufacturers to try to get anybody of interest, anybody interested in commenting to them about their displays or their vehicles.
so let me keep going on my quote unquote rant, and I'm going to try to be somewhat positive in all my comments. You take GM, for instance. There was a pretty substantial display of Chevrolets, but no Cadillacs. I don't think there were any Buicks.
I think there was a Cadillac. I believe I saw the Cadillac.
Okay.
Yes, the Cadillac won one of the world the one of the main cars, and they were up in the press room, which is maybe why you didn't see them, along with a few others, Bentley
Okay.
and Roll, you know.
You're making my point again. The show is aimed at the press,
Of
not
course
you.
it is. Of course it is. And with good reason, because they write later on, you'll see some of the stuff in like Automotive News that came out April 6th has the Boulder as the main picture on the front page of it. Okay. And I really thought that car was that vehicle was a very interesting vehicle, and it's going to give a major comp, com, you know, be a major competing vehicle to people who want to buy Ineos, Range Rovers, Land Rovers, Toyota
Well,
Cruisers, etc.
so let's re-explain this again for people who may not be familiar with the Boulder concept. So it's a Hyundai chassis
Looks like it.
on frame.
Very
It
tough
looks
looking off-roader,
very
and
tough looking off-roader. So when you see the concept vehicle, you think of Jeep Wrangler, you think of
correct.
Ford
The Ford
Bronco,
Bronco, right.
but
Yes.
also Toyota Land Cruiser, Toyota 4Runner.
The Ineos, the Mercedes, and the like.
And also the pickup trucks, right? And so Hyundai with that concept, I think is getting ready to
Invade the cockpit.
invade is the correct word, I'm afraid. Invade the market of medium to full size pickup trucks
Or
and
SUV.
body on frame SUVs.
Correct.
That would target again the Land Cruiser, but also the Tahoe from GM,
Right.
or even the Suburban. So it is a very interesting concept. It looked good, but that is the one vehicle that I is probably the star of the show, and also the most important because it really force displays what's to come with Hyundai.
Well, if
And
you
again, the US manufacturers, I mean, look at GM, look at Ford. So no Ford Ford had nine Bron oh, I don't know, six or seven or eight or nine Broncos.
correct.
And
No two doors.
no exactly.
There was not a two-door Bronco there, and of course that is my
Alice,
favorite
the
one.
car guy I was with at the show, wanted to see a two-door Bronco. There were no two-door Broncos. I mean, it's just you wonder who's in charge of marketing,
Well, Jay,
it's kind of
let's stop
worrisome, to
with
be
that
honest.
comment, and sometime we'll discuss it because I agree with you totally. I don't know what is going on in the marketing world for these manufacturers. You look at the, and let's go to Jaguar for a minute. There was a horrible, absolutely horrible display on somebody's design idea for Jaguar, and I don't know how the marketing department ever let that first design come out before they fired that designer. And I'm trying to, they'll never recover probably, but you know, I don't know. I'll get to the Jeep Cherokee before the show is through, because as a what I've discovered it, with the newest models out there, there are a couple of things that are that have been discontinued as interior components.
Okay,
in hey, Cherokee, well, let's go with that. Because
Robin, let me interrupt you, because you're gonna be happy to hear what I have to say for once. I sat in the Jeep Cherokee, which is a new vehicle, and I found it to be very nicely finished inside.
Agreed.
I also sat in the new Toyota RAV4, and it just looks like a piece of junk on the inside. It looks like a plastic garbage can. And
that's very interesting. I did not sit in many, if any, cars other than those. But let's get to the cars right now, because this is an interesting comment that you and I are in agreement on from a number of different sides. But let me go back to the Cherokee. I agree with you. I think the Cherokee, which I slammed in an earlier show because I'd read the Motor Trend.
Oh, I'm still slamming it. But
and Motor Trend didn't like it, and I thought I wasn't going to like it. I now have one in my family, not me specifically, who got picked up one, loaded, a limited edition. But let me tell you what it doesn't have that the older versions have. There is no power. There is no power portal in the front dashboard of the Jeep Cherokee. Now, anybody that the power portal I'm talking about is what we used to call cigar and cigarette lighters, which are electrical. But they provide electricity for plug-in componentry, which you can buy at stores, and there's no power port. They've got two C component only plugins for the newest cell phones that use the C cord attachments in the front, but no power portal to put in something else that you might want to run, or for old people with older phones who don't want to have to go buy a new phone to get a new power cord thing. And there's no rear light in the luggage compartment in the new Jeep Cherokee. There's no battery in the front under the front hood. So if you have a dead battery, I have yet to find out where they have put the battery. If you had to plug it in, and I had the hood open on my family's Cherokee over this weekend before the show was done. And I looked for 5 minutes and I could not find a positive an easy to find positive and negative connection for jumper cables should that vehicle have a dead battery when I arrive.
So, I bashed the interior of the RAV4, the new Toyota RAV4.
Yeah.
It's still going to outsell the Jeep Cherokee, I don't know, 2-1, 3-1, 5-1. And it's still probably going to end up being the best-selling vehicle in the world, or in the top 3 or 5 anyway. And it feels like, cheap plastic, but don't get me wrong. Those cars are well built. I want to get back to a few of the cars at the show, that may have struck us.
Well, can we talk about designs of the new cars?
Yes, Genesis G90.
The touchscreens across the front driver and passenger seat have become huge.
I did think about you when I was going through the show, because they all look like there's screens attached to a skateboard that's in front of you. They all look cheesy, plasticky. They all look the same, and we're all tired of them already.
Well, not to mention they're distracting if you want to find what you want to do in your car, and you've got to take your eyes off the road to find the place to touch on that screen to get the heating controls set up properly, or the fan speeds or whatever else. So I don't know where that's going to go. I know there's some outcries starting to show up in the press about the public's opinion about what we're talking about. And the manufacturer, we don't know what's going on in the marketing department of these manufacturers. And I don't know what's going on in the design department of these manufacturers related to current comment.
In all fairness, I think that, all these commands can be voice activated nowadays.
That's true. That's the answer they give me when you ask why why they've gone away from knobs and stuff and only are giving us touch screens to access the radio, the heating systems, the heating seats and all the other things. Yes, they say, well, you can call up Google Voice and ask what'll happen and you can get anything you want to happen in your car. That may
you mentioned the word design. Let's talk outside design for a minute or two. I think the star of the show was undoubtedly the Genesis G90 wingback concept. So
okay.
It's a station wagon. It's a shooting brake, as the Brits would call it. It was in British Racing Green, for that matter, metallic British Racing Green. And it was just absolutely beautiful. Okay. And it's interesting because it is a wagon. And I talked with one of the with a Kia / Genesis rep. And she was saying that they were getting a lot of positive feedback from that. And, you know, you're always skeptical because they're salespeople. But this person did seem to know her stuff and cars. And the response and the conversation seemed genuine. And I would like it to be true. I would like to see wagons come on the market. And,
Okay. Jay, I agree with you about wagons coming on the market. The design factor of that car that struck me was how low it was. It was not upright like the old wagons of old. And I'm not saying, or like the new, let's say, Hyundai Santa Fe, which is a square back thing, like a box.
That's an SUV, but yeah.
I know, and that's a more of a wagon look than the car you're looking at, in my viewpoint. But back to a wagon look. Volvo has still got Volvo. I sort of has wagon look, more of a wagon look too than this car you're talking about. But it is a beautiful car. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. The car is beautiful. I just didn't think of it as being wagon-like.
The best-looking car to the ugliest car.
Okay.
Subaru never was never championed aesthetic.
Interest in you? Okay.
Cars, but they are coming out with some of the ugliest things I've ever seen on wheels. I mean, the new Outback is just. Yeah, I think plain ugly. I think the cladding has these little dents in it. The proportions are just all wrong. I just think it's an ugly vehicle. But again, you know, we know beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
And I disagree with you about the new Outback. I happen to like the front end of the Subaru Outback much better than the old one. I think it's modern but not ugly. I think the vehicle itself looks pretty good also. So, you know, I'm not going to agree totally with your ugliness level of your feeling for the Subaru. So,
back to and wrapping it up about the show, I think there's just a missed opportunity at this show. I mean, if you know, when you go down, the main displays are on the first level, and then if you go down in the basement, you have the EV test track, the thrill ride, and then you have all this collection of old vintage cars that hodgepodge of, you know, and some things are pretty cool, but some things are just getting old in more ways than one. First of all, we've seen the same cars year after year after year, and I just think the overall manufacturers in the show are just missing the opportunity to present displays about the future of cars and mobility in general. Technical explanation on any booth about electric vehicles, about hybrids, about powertrains, about safety features.
I'm not sure the public has the time to see those kinds of things at the displays. Jay, you're right about
let me tell you something. There were enough dumbed down displays and shows going on. Like Toyota had this annoying, very loud little animation with two or three quote unquote actors. That was pretty pathetic. Another manufacturer had a dancing robots, and that entertained the crowds. And then others had these lame, gamey simulators, and people waited in line. So people are willing to spend time
Yeah,
to be
but yeah.
entertained. And I just think it's a missed opportunity on educating people, if you will. I don't know.
Well, do you think the days of auto shows are numbered to the
Well, yeah,
point?
we've had
To
this
the point,
conversation. Absolutely.
I know, but completely, because they're still going on in Europe, albeit maybe in a different way. I haven't
Well,
been to one.
again, it's an opportunity to bring the cars together and bring the press there, and the press does its job. I mean, I again, after going to the show, I saw these YouTube clips that were 4 or 5 minutes long, that made you really want to go and see the auto show. So,
That's their goal.
that is their goal, I guess.
Yep, that is. That was their goal. And if they're successful at that, that's what they want, because it costs money to go in. So they and the people love to just wander around. You were in the public part of it. I was in the press part of it. And the press went around, but they were far more determined to get to all the places than maybe the public is, you know, depending
So,
on.
just another, and things are just popping in and out of my mind here. The Ram had their new small van, utility
Yes, I
van.
liked it. I liked
I
that.
liked it a lot too. So, but it was just there. It was bland. It was just like one white refrigerator standing in the middle of
True. They didn't have a passenger version of it, which I would have been nice to see.
So, well, not only that, but like, how about bringing in,
Version?
a
Yeah,
camping
camping version.
version? I mean,
Why
all,
not? They don't. There wasn't any energy in that display. They
exactly.
just brought the vehicles that they've got a lot of. Ram pickups were all over the place, and then they had that one white new van, or return of the van, the
And there's
pro. What
so
do they
many things you
call
can do with it. I mean, you can deck it out to have as a work van, as a EMS vehicle, as a camping van. I mean, there's so many things you can do with it, and
Well.
there's so many things you could display, and yet it's just like one vehicle just dropped there, boom, that's
That's
it.
right. So the energy was within the foreign manufacturers, I found. Wouldn't you agree? There was much higher level of energy for presentation of vehicles with flexible uses. Subaru is one. You know, they had the they had, I think they had a camper. They might have had a camper Outback there or something. But
Yeah,
some of the other
they had.
manufacturers had those, exactly what you're saying. The Ram, Stellantis didn't do for their display. So there was nothing to compare to what was there from other manufacturers.
Yeah, again, the big three, if we can still call them that, GM, Ford, and Stellantis. Stellantis was pretty lame.
Yeah. Well, they don't have much in the cars part side either, right? What do they got
No, the
there?
new Dodge Chargers,
Yeah, that's it.
which, I can go two ways on that. I don't quite get the new Dodge logo. I think Stellantis has a huge branding issue, but that's a subject for another show. But to wrap it up, I'm happy I went. We keep saying we don't need to go again, but we keep going every year or every other year, and we will keep going to the auto show.
As long as it's doing what it's doing, that's right. And you know, during this mix of is electric still viable or not, we're going to follow that in our shows going forward. Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin in Car Keys.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.